So the Gemara here on Beis on Beis, we're discussing that it has a very remarkable Havamina. And the Gemara here says, again, let's read these few lines about which all this has been about. If you look at four lines in the Gemara, four lines down, the last word on the fourth line, the Gemara says, V'nisni hacha ha'ish kone. Instead of starting the Masechta ha'isha niknes, and then the second parak starts ha'ish mekadesh, it should have started ha'ish kone. That's what the Gemara is up to now. Gemara discusses earlier why the language of Kenyan and not Makadesh, but now we want to know why we start with him. Why don't we start with him? Why do we start with her? So the Gemara says, initially, Bishum de Kavai Lemisna Seifa, because of the end of the Mishnah, which is Vekones Atzma, right? She extricates herself from this situation. She acquires herself, as it were, right, through Misas Habal and through Gerushin. So since Bidida, Tananami Resha Bidida, since the focus of the Seifa is her, so that's the accent in the Resha as well. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't seem to be a very good answer, because Vinishna Ha'ish Kone Umakne, we could have addressed the Seifa from his vantage point as well. Instead of saying the Kona Es Atzma, referring to her, we could have said about the Seifa, Umakne, that he is Makne. So the Gemara says, okay, so there must be another reason. Mishum de'ika misas habal, the lab iu kamakni min shmaya hu demakni la. Because there are two examples, right? One is a get and the other one is misas habal. So in both cases, she acquires herself, but it's not true that he is Makne, because the misa part certainly is not in his hands. Fine. So then the Gemara says, that's one explanation. We talked about the implications of that. And then the Gemara says, Ibai Seima, Itana Kona, Hava Mina Fila Balkarcha, Tana Isha Niknes, Demidaita In, Shalomidaita Lo. That maybe the reason that we don't say Ha'ish Kona is for a different reason, and that is because had it said that, we would have thought that Kiddushin could be Keneged Ritzon Ha'isha, even when she, right, is not interested. In other words, she could be coerced into a marriage. Kamash Malan, that's not true. It's midaita in shalom midaita lo. So what we discussed the last couple of weeks is the fact that there are really two ways to read, broadly speaking, two ways to read the Gemara. One way is to read a kipshuto, and that is that the Gemara really thought that you could force a woman into marriage. That's what the Gemara seems to say. And then the Kamash Malan is that you cannot. The maskana in that case is not problematic. The havamina is very strange. Why would anybody think that a woman could be coerced into a marriage? And as we discussed, there are three different considerations that militate against that havamina and make it very difficult. One is the policy aspect of it, namely what the Meiri calls shelo hinachta bas la'avraham avinu. You've made every eligible Jewish woman a target, essentially, by suggesting that you could force a woman into marriage. You've made the ones that are most eligible, right? You've made them prey to this, P-R-E-Y, right? To this particular halacha. And that doesn't seem conceivable, right? The Meiri's formulation is not, that this should be a Durabanan or something against it. So it's just inconceivable the Torah would allow for such a thing. We talked about Drachel Darche Noah maybe being a factor here and so. The second factor is the one that the Meiri also points out, but earlier the Rajba puts his finger on, and that isn't Kiddushin a Kinyan? And Kinyan almost routinely, right, means on the basis of consent. Now, I said almost, because there are some exceptions, and there are some Rishonim here al Atar that try to justify the Havamina, right? The same Havamina that the Rajba and Meiri said was inconceivable because it defies seemingly the requirements of Kenyan. So there are other Rishonim who take this connection and perceive it as the basis of the Havamina. For example, the Talmud Rajba and the Meiri himself has such a line, and others, particularly among Chachmei Provence, but others as well, point out that a get is Bal Korcha the Isha, and Yibum can be Bal Korcha. So you see that there are some exceptions. Okay. Either way, we'll discuss those. We noted, number one, that Yibum and Get might be either Exeris HaKasuv, that's the Meiri's perspective, or they might not really be Kinyanim. They have the effect of a Kinyan, but they're not actually a Maisa Kinyan. That's certainly the view of the Ksos HaKoshen regarding Get. That's why it says V'nasan B'yada. And in fact, the Ksos HaKoshen's proof, he has three proofs, but Isuri Anag, Gitav Yada Ba'in Ki'echad, and the third proof is the one that we're interested in, and that is the fact that an Isha could be Miskareshes Bal Korcha. So it says that proves it's not really a Kenyan. So, Yibam also, you might say, it's simply the Hashlama of the Zika, right? Let's say the Aresin part continues from the Eishes Hameis, that's the view of the Sfarno, and the Nisuin part is a natural result of the Zika connection between them. So there are different ways to explain or to neutralize the problem of Yibum and the problem of Get. Mostly, the Rishonim who are invoking the issue of Kinyan are invoking it against the Havamina. Namely, like the Rajba, how could it be that we're talking about a serious consideration of Bal Korcha if we're talking about a Kinyan? Right, that is incompatible. Okay. The third consideration is the one which I brought up, which is, I think, even more basic than the first two, and that is there's simply no mechanism to justify a coerced marriage, because there's no bond that links the parties together. If you have a relationship, you can talk about the domination sometimes of one party over that of another. But if you have no prior connection, then on what basis would A impose his will on B? A and B are completely disconnected from each other. So to walk up to an Isha Bashuk, with whom you have no connection, I'm not talking about whether you went to high school together or you know each other from birth, but I'm talking about legal, formal connection, right? You have no rights one over the other. You have no formal bond. To be able to impose your will, I'm not talking about pressure and acceptance. I'm talking about coercion. To be able to do that seems inconceivable. Anyways, because of all of this, the Rajba, not all of it, but at least one of it, the Rajba came up with a very interesting suggestion, and that is to turn the Gemara on its head. The Gemara, according to the Rajba, never really thought that you can impose your will on someone else, on a woman, in order to force her into marriage. Rather, the Gemara thought that the conventional law which applies in the world of Choshev Mishpat, namely, Talui V'Zavin Zvini Zvini, namely, a pressured assent, that, we would think, should apply, as it applies in Dine Mamanis, to Dine Ishus as well. Kamash Malan, right, Ha'isha Niknes, and not Ha'ish Kone, to Midaita in, Shalom Midaita Lo. And I believe, in light of the Rajba, it's his Chiddush mostly, that is the Pshat also in the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam, the Rajba doesn't say it, neither does anybody else, but if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Ishus Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, which is on page 2, starting from line 20 or 21, there's a double formulation in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Eina isha miskadeshes el lertzona, v'amikadesh isha bal karcha, eina mikudeshes. So why the need for a double formulation? Once you've said, Eina isha miskadeshes el lertzona, you've already said that she's not miskadeshes bal karcha, or vice versa. Why the need to repeat? Moreover, if you look at the continuation of the Rambam then says, a chiddush, or at least something that isn't explicit in the Gemara, and something which maybe, probably, according to the Rajba at least, the Bala Itur at minimum disagrees with, and that is, Aval Ha'ish She'ansuhu Ad She'kidesh Balkarcho Harei Zu Mekudeshes. The Ram says, if you pressure a husband, right, the man, into marrying somebody, then B'di'eved, that works. Where does that come from? So clearly, like the Rajba, it seems like the Rambam read our Gemara, Eina Isha Miskadesha Salamidaita, as being connected also to the Gemara in Bava Basra of Talui V'Zavin Zvini Zvini. I think that's why we have the double formulation. Number one, we're being told, of course, you need ratzon in ishus. And number two, we're being told that if the ratzon is a result of bal karcha, even though it is a ratzon, namely kofenoso et shiyom ratzani or taluya v'zavin, where in dine mamonis it's zvini zvini, and the Rambam paskens that way in hilchos mechira. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. When it comes to ishus, the halacha is that it doesn't work when it's the woman who's being pressured. And that's why the Rambam adds, however, if it's a shotgun marriage, mainly he is the one being pressured, the husband, then this will, in fact, work. That's the Rambam. So I think clearly the Rambam read the Gemara, as the Rajba later suggested. Oh. But then the question becomes, why? In other words, instead of contending with a very difficult Havamina, it's a more difficult Havamina, right? But at least it's only a Havamina. Now we end up with a Maskana, which is incompatible with the rules of Choshen Mishpat, right? And the question is why? So the Rajba himself, I don't want to repeat everything we said, so just summarizing for a second, the Rajba suggests that basically you have to plug our little 3, 4, 5-line Gemara into Bava Basra completely. And what happened to the Bava Basra is that there's an exchange between a Meimar and Rav Ashi. If you look at it here just for a second, take the second half of the Gemara, it's on line 17, the Amar Meimar, Taluya v'kadosh kiddushin kiddushin, kiddush of kiddushin. Right, a Meimar said that if you force the woman, but she agrees in the end. In other words, if you pressure her, we'll call it, say it that way. If you pressure her and she agrees, she acquiesces, then in the end of the day, kiddushav is kiddushin. In other words, it's in line with Taluya v'zavin, zvini, zvini, agavonse gomar makni. Then the Gemara says, but Mar Bravashi Omar be isha vade kiddushin ohave, hu asa shaloka hogen, lefika chasu imo, shaloka hogen, vafkin rabbana le kiddushin mine. However, says Ravashi, in my opinion, even though fundamentally it should work, in fact, policy-wise it doesn't work, the chachamim, this is one of those rare afkinu cases in the Gemara. Even though this one's a little different, as the Rishonim point out, because this one is going forward, not retroactive. In other words, the ones that work with a get are the ones that there was a marriage for 40 years, for 50 years, for 100 years, for 10 minutes, it doesn't matter. There was a marriage, and then through some sort of improper effort to give a get, and then to withdraw the get, the Chachamim swooped in, and they said, Afkin Rabbanu l'kiddushin minei. So then, the Akiras HaKiddushin is the Mafreya. It's retroactive. That's, you know, not only very bold. Being Oker Kiddushin that works Daraisa is always bold. Being Oker et l'mafreya retroactively, right, is not just bold, it's really, it's a very powerful thing to do. It's really a Pandora's box, because you're revising halachic history of these people, right? I'm not only talking about whether they have to give back the marriage presents or what they do with the photography, but it's a mess, as you can understand. But the Gemara here in Bavasra is a going forward afkinu, which is a little bit less, controversial, but still controversial. That's why the Bali Tosis point out that even though normally we say kol mekadesh adata drabana mekadesh, right, and therefore according to Bali Tosis, that's why we say kedas Moshe v'Yisrael in the nusach of the kiddushin heret mekadesh libetaba zo, right, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. However, Bali Tosis are mistapek whether in the Bava Basra case and a parallel case also in Yavamos Taf Kofir, another case where the kiddushin doesn't get off the ground as opposed to it being nekar lemafreya. Do you need to say Kala Makadesh? I'm sorry, do you need to say Kedas Moshe of Yisrael in this case as well? Maybe only the ones where it's a kind of a Tanai and you're Oker Lamafreya. That's the Suffolk of Tosus in Bava Basra. Anyways, the point is that the Gemara is really telling us, if you look carefully at the Gemara in Bava Basra, you know, what appears to be a lack of conformity between Eben Ezer and Choshen Mishpat, between Das of an Isha in Kiddushin and Das of a Mocher in Mecha Chomemkar, what appears to be a discrepancy is in fact a discrepancy in policy, but not in principle. Right? The gap is covered by Afkin Rabbanu l'Kiddushin Minei. That's the Chachamim right, to swooping in and doing something very, shocking and bold, right? But that's the discrepancy. However, and therefore the Rajba, if you look back at the Rajba for a moment, so the Rajba says, look on line 8 on the same page, the Kaimala in the middle of the line, the Kaimalan Kravashi, the Amar Hassan Beisha Eina Mukudesh, as to who Asa Shaloka Hogan, Asa Shaloka Hogan. The Duki Dahachi Kravashi Asya, the Ameimar, Mitaritzla Keterutzakama Mishimitana Seifa Bididok Kanal. So the Rajba goes even so far as to ask the question, how will Ameimar read our Gemara? But the important thing is that what the Rajba did here is that he was troubled, right, with the Havamina. It's just an interesting process, right? It was inconceivable to him that a Kinyan could be imposed Bal Karcha. He scoured the Shas. He came up with the idea that we're not talking about a real Bal Karcha, we're talking about something just short of Bal Karcha. In other words, a pressured agreement, the Sugya in Bava Basra. And then he said, oh, but it's out of line with that conclusion. But not really, because if the Gemara here is just really referring to the Gemara there, so there's a Meimar, that's the Havamina, and there's Ravashi, that's the Maskana. And that's exactly what he said. Then he says, so how does Meimar read the Maskana here? The answer is he doesn't. He goes back to the other idea of, Tana, Seifa Bidida, therefore this is also Bidida, and so on. That's the Rajba. And then, when he has the rest of the Rambam to consider, he says, Va'ishan Sula Kadesh, Kosav Rambam Kiddushot Kiddushin, what we just read, shotgun marriage, Va'rab Bala Ether Kosav She'en Kiddushot Kiddushin, the Tali V'zavin Amru, Tali V'kani Lo Amru, V'nirin Divrei Rambam, the E Agavonse, Gomer of Zavin, Kolshkein the Gomer of Kani. A very fascinating argument, meaning the Bala Ether basically said that when the Gemara says in Balbasra about Mominus, Talui V'zavin Zvini Zvini, it doesn't say Talui V'yoiv works, meaning can you force somebody only to give up something that he owns? Can you even force him to acquire, to initiate, introducing something into his possession? The Bala Yitzhar obviously thought that it takes more mental energy or more initiative, halakhic kinyan initiative, to acquire than it does to relinquish. And therefore, the fact that relinquishing can be done under pressure does not yet mean that acquiring can be done under pressure. That's the Bala Yitzhar, and it's a diuk from the language of the Gemara. Talui v'zavin, not talui v'yayiv. The Rajba assumes that according to the Bala Yitzhar, hu adin, a husband. So if the husband, right, is pressured into marrying the woman, that wouldn't work fundamentally. Right? Even though the woman agreeing in pressure to marry her husband, minat Torah, that really works, if not for Afkin Rabbanan Kiddusha Minayim. That's the view of the Bala Yitzhar and his reading, and the Rajba's reading of him. However, the way the Rajba reads the Rambam is the opposite. Namely, the reason the Rambam said that shotgun marriage works, even though, right, pressuring her does not work, is because the opposite is true. It's actually easier to force someone to acquire than it is to force them to relinquish. Maybe the relinquishing, right, what's so terrible about getting another possession? But giving up something with which you already have an established kinyan and you are already connected and bonded to, that requires, right, a more serious commitment of das. Okay, so there's a fundamental argument between the Yitzhar and the Rambam, as the Rajba understands it, regarding the relationship between being kona and being makna, and that has enormous implications throughout Chosha Mishpat, frankly. But the assumption of the Rajba is that, in principle, there are no differences between Avinu Ezer and Chosha Mishpat when it comes to these matters. Toliv zavin zvini zvini, toliv, right, v'yayiv, whether or not, that's considered a proper kinyan, whatever the answer is for one, right, that is true also for its Evan Ezer counterpart, Lekula and L'chomer. However, what I was trying to show last week was that it seems clear that the Rambam read the Gemara like the Rajba fleshed out all those couple of centuries later. The Rambam anticipated this. But what's not clear is whether or not we have to accept fully the Rajba's reading. As the Rajba said, plug in Bava Basra to Kiddushin. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe Bava Basra is one Shaklapataria, and maybe Kiddushin is a different Shaklapataria. Maybe Kiddushin is about Kiddushin, and maybe it's something more fundamental about the possibility of distinguishing between Kiddushin and Choshen Mishpat. After all, right, you could make an argument both on the both in terms of the das of the husband or the wife. You could make the argument on either side, effectively, that there's a difference between Avinu Ezer and Choshen Mishpat, and that you require either more or less. So the way the Chasam Sofer, for example, read the Rambam, seemingly in line of what I've been saying, which is the Rambam doesn't seem to ever embrace the idea of Afkin Rabban LeKiddushim Hineh. He usually has a different explanation for those Gemaras. Here too, there's no hint in the Rambam that when he says that a woman who is forced into marriage, right, that the Kiddushin is not Chal, there's no hint in the Rambam that that's a Din D'Rabbanan based on Afkinu Rabbanu LeKiddushim Hineh. And especially if he doesn't believe in Afkinu, right? So, Ein Kiddush of Kiddushin, meaning you don't need a get, and if, you know, Shalach Pashat Yoda the Kibla Kiddushin Me'acher, it would be obvious that the Kiddushin would be Chal. If that's a Din D'Raisa and it's not based on Afkinu, so what is it based on? That's one conundrum. In the other direction, there seems to be some discussion about coordinating the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat regarding the debate between the Itur and the Rajba, namely, if you say Talui V'Zavn Zvini Zvini, which we do, does that mean Talui V'Yahiv also works or not? There's a discussion whether or not what the Ramah's position is on that, and there's a similar discussion regarding the Psak in Evan Ezer, but they don't seem to align. It's possible that we're mechalek between them. So, if that's the case, so maybe the argument, the way the Avnei Miluim says it is, he thinks actually you require less for Kinyan Kiddushin than you do for Choshen Mishpat. Because it isn't really a Kinyan, there's no acquisition, there's no Heftza, it's really more of an agreement between parties. Therefore, the level of das required, remarkably for him, is less. So he says, for that reason, even though the Ramah paskins like the Bala Itur, that Taluya V'yayiv, right, will not work in Choshen Mishpat, when it comes to Kiddushin, he paskins like the Rambam, that Taluya V'kaddish, if you put a gun to the head of the Chasan and you pressure him into the marriage, it'll work. You require a lower threshold in Ibn Ezra than you do in Choshen Mishpat. What I was trying to say last week is that you might reach exact opposite conclusion. And I'm more comfortable with the opposite conclusion, because the opposite conclusion basically argues that in Dine Mamanis, all you're doing is an agreement, an assent, whereas in Ibn Ezra, what you're trying to do is create a new category called the Ishus. That's a new creation, has transcendent significance, and therefore the level of das that is required is actually higher than Choshen Mishpat. So again, to buttress that idea, to note that while Rashi, in the second parak of Kiddushin, explains that the reason that you require das ha'isha in Kiddushin is because it's a kinyan, and every kinyan requires das. Rashi Nivamos, on the other hand, on your Testament base, it's quoted here on the side on Beis Amid Beis. If you look at the what is it, the Saras Hashas, right? He quotes the Rashi's, both Rashi's. Saras Hashas here. Zelos showed Rashi Bivamus Yitesu today. Somebody have that, right? The Dimer Masal Kedushin the Alma. Ahocha v'hoisa liisha cher midaita mashma. And it says, I know Rashi lekaman mem dalad amid aleph. Those are two very different Rashis. Right? The Rashi in Kiddushin seems to say that the reason you require Das is because it's a Kenyan. Very similar to what the Rajba and the Meiri said and so on. But Rashi in Nivamos seems to have a gzeres hakasu of requiring das for isha. Is that because fundamentally you could get away with less, or because you need more das and it isn't just the typical das makna? So you also could be mechalik between the das of the baal and das of the isha for different reasons. Again, the Sefer Batim says, and that maybe you can get away with less das for the husband because he always has options. He can marry someone else, minat Torah. He could divorce her, minat Torah. She, on the other hand, right, needs to be very committed to this relationship because it's her exclusive relationship and she doesn't have control over the get process. So that's a reason to think that das ha'isha requires more. The reason to think that das ha'ish requires more is because ki yikach ish isha. He's the one who's initiating this kenyan. He is the active party in all of this. Indeed, the Ran and the Darim seems to describe das ha'isha in Kiddushin, something that the Avnei Milim also picks up on, as a kind of osa atzma lehefker. She doesn't refuse. As long as she doesn't refuse, that's all we need. So we could debate all of this, but the point is that there seems to be evidence that Kiddushin requires a higher level of das, not a lower level of das, than Choshen Mishpat. And that's what I wanted to pick up today with the following question and issue. So far we've discussed Kinyanim, and we've discussed Kiddushin, and we've discussed Yibum, and we've discussed Gittin. In light of everything that we've discussed, the idea that Yibum and Gittin are Bar Karcha, right, makes much more sense. As we've thought, maybe they're not a Kenyan. There's no problem of Lohinachta Basla Avram Avinu, because we're not talking about anybody. We're talking about a very specific relationship. Moreover, my consideration, which is the lack of Tziruf, meaning if you don't have a relationship or a legal bond with someone, you can never force your will on them in a legal way. That's not a problem when it comes to the Zika of Yibum, or the Ishus, which is the background or the framework of a get. Right? In a get, there is a bond between the parties, the husband and wife. Right? And vis-a-vis Gittin, the Torah made him the dominant party, for whatever reason. But that's the way they did it. So the ability of him to impose his will upon that bond is reasonable. Mash'ein Kain, when it comes to Kiddushin. So what we haven't discussed so far is what happens with Nisuin, right? Because, as we know, there are two phases in Ishus. One is Kiddushin, one is Nisuin. We discussed this a lot more a couple years ago. We learned Ksuvas. But the point is that where does Nisuin stand vis-a-vis things like Yibum, Gittin, and Erusin, and in Imamanus? So the answer is, it depends how you understand Nisuin. But certainly, when it comes to certain issues, we can say the following about Nisuin. Right. Number one, there's already a bond. In that sense, it's like Yibum and Get. Right? There's no problem of Tziruf. She's already Mures Eslo. She's already an Eishes Ish. So the question then becomes, what level of Ratzon or Das is required to complete, right, to consummate the Kinyan, or the Ishus, right? That's a totally different question than if you start off with no relationship, you know, and you try to build one or initiate one. You're not initiating a relationship here, you're completing it. In that sense, like Yibum and like Gittin, right, there's no tziruf problem. There's certainly no problem of Shloi Nachta Basla Avram Avinu. She already agreed to the Erusin, right? Moreover, you can argue that in terms of Kinyan, it's also an open question, and for two reasons. Number one, if we look at Nisuin as the second half of the Kinyan Aishus, what you might say is that the Kinyan that was given in the first half, right, is implicit to both, or is an abeyance in some respects. If you think that Nisuin is not really the completion of the Kinyan, it's more the removal of an obstacle which, without which the Erusin itself would have been a complete Ishus from the beginning, then certainly you might get away with a lower threshold when it comes to Nisuin. The point I'm trying to make is that You know, whether we're talking about tziruf, whether we're talking about, the second half, you know, when there already is a first half, or if especially if we're talking about a matir that isn't really a kinyan at all, even though it has the effect of making sure that there are no further impediments or obstacles to the full kinyan, any of these three perspectives would justify being much more makil on the standards of Nisuin than the standards of Eruvin. Okay? So as far as that is concerned, just to look at some of the evidence very quickly. Let's just begin with the linguistic one. Again, this whole topic is introduced by the language of the Mishnah, Ha'isha Niknes. And then the Gemara's question, why not Ha'ish Koneh? And the answer, Midaita Im Shalom Midaita Lo. Do we have a parallel to that in Nisuin? So we do. Tosus right in the beginning of Masechet Ksuvos, right, the Mishnah there says, if you look on page 2, number 25 and 26, the Mishnah says, "Besula nises liyom arvi, v'almana liyom achamishi." We don't need to read the Mishnah. The language of the Mishnah is besula nises, right? Just like in that respect, right? Ha'isha nikneis, right? What they share in common is that both focus on the woman. It's not ha'ish nosei, and both focus on the passive, right? Nises nikneis, rather than the more active, no say, kona, or mekadesh. Is that significant or not? So if you look at Tosa in the beginning of Ksuvas on Beis Amid Aleph, Tosa says, Nises, this is number 29, Hodeloktani nosin esabsula, kemo ha'ish mekadesh. Tosa is asking the question in a way that invokes the Gemara in the beginning of Kedusha. Right, the Gemara in the beginning of Kiddushin says, why Isha Niknes not Ha'ish Mekadesh? Tosis is saying, why Ha'isha Niseis and not Nosin as Habsula like Ish Mekadesh? So Tosis says a remarkable thing. Lefi Sha'at, not the first one. Sha'ata Mekatzer Yoser. Okay, that's a technical answer. Not remarkable. Then Ba'od, Di Tani Hachi. This is the remarkable answer. Hava Mina Afilo Bal Karcha. If it had said Ha'ish Nosei, I would have thought that once there is an Eruvin, in other words, and now the question is, what about the next phase, the final phase, the phase of the Nisuin? So as far as that is concerned, I would think that it could be Bal Korcha. Why would you think such a thing? So Tosa says, because if you read the Gemara in Kiddushin, that's exactly what the Gemara says in Kiddushin. Kiddimishami, in Kiddushin, Gabi Hod Parach Velisna Ish Kona. Now, the question is, this, I'm guessing this is what you're about to ask. Go ahead.
What kind of Bal Korcha?
Oh, I mean, what kind of Bal Korcha is remains of a, that's a question. Well, there's no reason to think that it's a different Bal Korcha than the Kedushin Bal Korcha,
oh, yeah,
because
we had two
possibilities. Let's assume whichever one for the moment. But again, clearly Tosus there is invoking the Gemara here. But I thought you were going to ask a different question, and that is, there are two ways you could, in theory, read this Tosis. One is that, basically, you know, when you learn Masechet Ksuvos, do you already know Masechet Kedushin? It's an interesting, you know, educational, historical, in some respects metahalachic question too, right? So, does Tosis think that you know the beginning of Masechet Kedushin? If not, then what we're saying is, just like the Gemara in Kedushin says that the active language, right, Mekadesh, Kone, implies Bal Korcha, and therefore you need a passive language to, right, neutralize that misconception, so too you need that in the beginning of Ksuvas. But in theory, let's say we were, you know, Kiddushin experts. Let's say we were Kori L'Mafreya. Let's say we learned Masechet Kiddushin, you know, again, the truth is one would have thought that you should learn Masechet Kiddushin before Ksuvas, right, in the order of things. One would have thought that you should learn Kiddushin before Gittin too, right? But it's Yivamos Ksuvos, right? Everything is a little bit, you know, Gittin, you know, Kiddushin. So, If you knew Masachet Kiddushin, would you still think, knowing now that Kiddushin is only Midasa Isha, would you still think that Nisuin might be Balkarcha the Isha? No. Because we already know that Balkarcha doesn't work in Ishas. Is that the Pshat in Tosas?
No.
Or is Tosas saying, no, 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 everybody out there is a Talmud Chacham and a Lamed.
It could work in
Kiddushin,
it could work in
Nisuin.
She's already in his Rishus.
Oh, okay, good. Baruch Hashem, that's what we're... But I'm saying you don't know in Tosas, right? So there are some Mefarshim who interpret Tosas, you know, according to the more, let's say, pessimistic way, in terms of idealism, right? In other words, you know, Lu Yitzir, we knew Masachet Kiddushin, right? Then there would be no Havamina. We have already, you know, been there, done that, right? We already know that there's no Bal Korcha Nishas. In other words, whatever we're going to say for Kiddushin, we're going to say for Nisu. But if you look at the Marshal, right, in the Chachma Shlomo, he addresses exactly this issue. Right, Tosas Divrei Masal Nisais, this is on page 3, number, line 2. Tosas Divrei Masal Nisais, Deparach Velisni Ha'ish Kone, Nir Be'enai, right, Bereish Ha'ish Ha'niknes, U'mishim Hachi Leike L'mitai, Gabi Ha'ish Mekadesh. Right? The Kvartana Beresha She'ena Isha Niknes El Ladaita. Meaning, even if you know the Gemara in Kiddushin and you already know that there's no Kiddushin Bal Korcha, you still might think that there's Nisuin Bal Korcha. Why? Because the situation is different. There is no framework. But here, she's already Mekudeshes. Hava Mina Shapir Niseis Af Bal Korcha. Once she is already Mekudeshes, maybe the Nisuin is Bal Korcha, even though the Kiddushin could never be Bal Korcha. Right? For the reasons that we discussed. Many of the reasons, frankly. Just one more second. You see the same thing in Shittu Kabetzes with a slightly different explanation. Umeata Kasha, look at number, line number 6. Kasha Ktas. Dach Anami, Leike Lemitai, Dikvar Shmina Neisha Niknes. So he's asking the question, like, what's the optimism? Like, how would anybody make this mistake? Everybody's a Parsha expert. Everybody's a Shakla Vitaria expert. Everybody knows the Gemara in Kiddushin that it isn't true. That's the question, based on the assumption that they, whatever you're going to say for one, you're going to say for the other. V'yesh lomar d'hacha lo boi l'meimer d'hava mina d'bal korcha t'skadesh. We're not saying here that it has to say Ha'isha Niseis because we thought Kiddushin could be Bal Korchach. Right? Kidim Mishani Hosa. That's what the Gemara says in Kiddushin. Dezek Farash Minalami Masnisan. Diktoni Isha Niknes and Nachanami. We know that already. We know that Gemara. We know that Mishnah. Elohaki Kamar, what we are saying is, Dahava Mina Din Niskadsha Bertzona, Ditinase Bal Korchach, Kim Nikfar Niskadsha Bertzona. Meaning what? The Ratzon carries over? See, I think the first, it's a diuk. The Marshal, I think, is saying, this tziruf already, this kiddushin. So there might be nisuin bal korcha. The Shidu Kubetz is saying a little differently. Shidu Kubetz is, number one, he has a harder time with it. But he's also saying something a little different. What he's saying is, the das of the kiddushin is going to work for the nisuin. Not the framework of kiddushin makes the issue of das and kiddushin in nisuin different. Understand? Kivin dekvar niskatsha birtsona, right? Not kivin dekvar niskatsha. Veikin lemitai bahachi. Yeah.
Kiddushin without nisuin is a dead end. It makes no sense
whatsoever. Well, I mean, it is a dead end in terms of the ishus, but it isn't a dead end legally.
But they can't be in limbo forever.
Well, they could. She's an Eishes Ish. She needs a get. So she is in limbo forever. You know, there's an interesting tshuva of the Tashbates. There's an interesting tshuva of the Tashbates in which he discusses this, the issue from the perspective of the mitzvah of Kiddushin. In terms of mitzvahs, Kiddushin, right? Let's assume the mitzvah according to the Rambam, is the Eirusin, not the Nesuah. But let's say he marries her, Eirusin, with the intention of not completing the Nesuah. So the Tashbit says, does anybody think if that's really a mitzvah, if he has no intention of going through to the Nesuah? So that's an interesting question. On a mitzvah level, I'm not sure the answer is as simple as he thinks it is either. Although I'm inclined to think that, you know, maybe he's right. Even though the mitzvah is the derech of kiddushin when applied to the result of nisuin, so you have to have, you know, in mind that you're going to complete this process. But that's not true about the legality. In other words, legally, if you decide, let's say you're a perverse person or you just changed your mind, like to the Eirusin was so traumatic, you decided you want to go through the Nesuah. Whatever it is, right? Alpi din. Everybody agrees she's an Eishes Ish. She needs a get. If she betrays the marriage vows, right, it's a death penalty. Everything, you know, everything that goes along with Eirusin, it's not pretty, right? But, and certainly not ideal. But that's the halacha. Okay? Yeah.
I don't think your interpretation of the Shita or the Besis is correct, because you wouldn't use the expression Bar Kochach if the Das of the Kiddushin applies also to...
No, he's just saying, I mean legally, I don't mean practically. Meaning, what he's saying is, right now she's screaming and yelling, I don't want to get my known to sue it. Right?
Yeah.
In that sense, it's Bar Kochach. But what we're saying is, Al Pidin, by agreeing to the Kiddushin, that is the Das. That's what we mean. Well, the reason I'm interpreting the Shidun Gebetzis differently than the Chachma Shlomo is because the word Kiddushin Birtsona, the word Birtsona is superfluous if all we mean to say is the framework.
The Marshal says the same thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't say Birtsona.
Kiddushin Birtsona.
No, but that's not a factor here. What I'm saying is, for the Marshal, I'm not 100% sure. But what I'm saying is, if the Diuk is correct, that's what it means. That's all I'm saying. If they're writing both carefully. What I'm saying is, the Marshal is saying, there's a framework here. This Tziruf. Or, there's no need for anything more, because this is the Kenyan and the other part isn't the Kenyan. What the Shidduch Betzis is saying is, there was a Kenyan Beratzon. What do we care? We know that, but that's history. That the Kenyan part is what's important. Understand? That's what I'm saying. It's the Ratzon. That's the fact. That's how I'm looking at it. I could be wrong, but that's the thinking. Yeah.
Why do we place so much stock on the inferential learning of the Nifal as being? We can't have a Nifal. But if you say Ha'ish, then Hava Amina Bal Karcha. The Rambam says it explicitly. Why? I
mean, says what?
Why would the Gemara have said it explicitly? Why do we have to go so inferentially in and parse the language?
Now, I think the point is that there were, when you have alternatives to formulate something and you're trying to figure out, again, the assumption always is in rabbinic language that, you know, it's very precise. The rabbis were, you know, they were careful about their formulations, right? And therefore, when they had options and they chose... So the assumption is that they're trying to preclude something, or they're trying to formulate something more precisely. So in both of these cases, whether it's Ha'isha Niknes or Nesula Nises, I also think it's typically in most languages, I think this is true, I'm not a linguist, but I think in most languages using the Nifal, right, is always a second choice. Typically we don't speak that way. You don't say the woman was married. Right? We usually speak actively. So I think when you find that, whether it's especially obviously in Torah Shabbat Sav, because there, that's the Rabbona Sholem's use of language, and that's even more important. But even in rabbinic language, we often find that we draw inferences from, you know, from when there are alternatives, and especially I'm suggesting not only the alternatives here, but it's more than that. It's a usage which is a little more jarring and which is a little bit. You know, which is typically avoided. Like if you go to, you know, you take English composition. You know, frankly, I don't, you know, since like ninth grade, and I'm very happy. But I just remember that's like they tell you, oh, why, you know, you're not supposed to speak in the, what's it called? The passive voice, exactly. I mean, so, I remember it. That's why I don't have to take it again. I'm done. Yeah.
Interestingly, Avraham and Malachim, he said, Yukach no mayim.
Yeah. And Chazal say, that's all you do. What do they say? Rashi quotes the Medrash, that Yukach no mat mayim implies that it was shlichus. You look at the Rashi Al-Antar. Why? Because who says yukach? What do you mean yukach? Let the water be taken. Kach is amayim, whatever. That's a great example. It's a nifal or that's just jarring, and therefore Chazal, the midrashim again, they're not just trying to make drashos, right? They have a deep, sensitive, literary eye for language. So what do you mean yukach na matmayim? That's just so strange. The answer is either it's a result-oriented task. That's another way to look at it. Well, in this case, it's both. The result-oriented, meaning he delegated that. He didn't do it. He made sure that it got done. So it's very consistent. Again, and there can be a context where it's obvious that the best choice is the passive voice. You know, especially if you want to convey something passively, right? Like, you know, when do you say shilach and when do you say shalach, and you know, and then when do you, you know, obviously, these are linguistic usages that that reflect a certain emphasis, both in our own usage of language if we use it correctly, and in good literature, and kal v'chomer ben benosha kal v'chomer. In good legal formulations or narrative formulations of Chazal, and Kavachom are even more than that, in Lishna Dekra. So we always have to be careful. Yeah?
Yeah, just the only mystery in the Torah that's written beneath all is the Nidashi of Nisra.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And maybe because it's very result-oriented.
Yaakov Kamenetsky says that since it's a Nifal, it's the only mystery in the Torah that a cotton is Mechuyev min a Torah.
That?
A cotton is Mechuyev.
Right, and why? Because it's result-oriented. We care about the effect.
Kol Beis Yisrael
Metzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem. Perikei Yechus Yisrael Yatara. Very good, it's a nice part. I like it. Because, again, Kiddush Hashem is very result. Why can't you do tshuva for Kiddush Hashem, for Chil Hashem? Why can't you do tshuva for Chil Hashem? According to many, because it's not an action alone; it's the impact that it has. It's an effect-oriented halacha, right? The same idea. Okay. Anyways, yeah.
So our reading of the Shita Mekubetza seems similar to discussion last week about ones.
Yeah, correct. I was saying last week that the Meiri asked the question, and so does the Avnei Miluim, that. How can you, according to those who think that you can't force him to be Mekadesh Asa'isha, how could there be Kiddushin and Onus? And I was saying, because that already is a carryover for his original action. So it is, you could be Mechalik, but it is a parallel. It's a very good parallel. Okay. Anyways, let's continue. So that's one example where we see that, according to at least these two, the Shita Mekubetzes and the Marshal, right, both agree. And again, there might be a difference between them. I'm suggesting that there is. But what they share in common is the idea that even if we know that in Kiddushin there cannot be Bal Korcha, right, it's still conceivable that in Nisuin it is Bal Korcha. Of course, according to Tosus, the result still is that it's not. Right? But is that just, we don't go that far? Or is that because we really equate the criteria of Das in Kiddushin and Nisuin? That's not clear. It could be that it can't be Bal Korcha, but there's still other Chilukin. Ah! So, that would, you know, motivate us to look for other cases that are actually Lahalacha. Right? So number one, just before we even get to that, what'd you say?
Edus.
I mean, Enikiyum. Yeah, so we'll get that in a second. But before we even get to that, just to note that the Rambam in Hilchos Ishas Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, the one that we just read, says Ein Isha Miskadeshes Alamidaita VaMikadeshes Isha Bal Korcha Einu Mekudeshes, a double formulation of the requirement of agreement in Kiddushin, right? But you will look in vain, right? Don't take my word for it. Look, and if it's not in vain, tell me. But in Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus and beyond, in other words, Rambam's transition in Hilchos Ishus, starting from Perek Yud, is where he talks about Nisuin. Right? So why don't we open it up, right? Nice, Sefer V'Nechazi. Does he have such a formulation about Nisuin requiring Ratzon and Das and not being Balkarcha Isha? He doesn't say that it can, but he doesn't say that it can't. And when it comes to Kiddushin, he felt that he had to say that it couldn't. Double formulation. Right? Now, there's no parallel to the Tosfos, let me just say it that way. There's no Tosfos, Ksuvis, Beis Amud Aleph parallel in the Rambam. Okay, there could be worse things. I mean, you don't have to lose so much sleep over that. But it's an interesting point, and maybe it's the beginning of a pattern. Okay. For a pattern, there have to be other examples. So let's look for another example. Where else would you test? So you mentioned Eidei Kiyum. Eidei Kiyum is a terrific example. So we know that there's a requirement of Eidei Kiyum in Erusin. That's a Gemara later on in Kiddushin Daf Samech Amud Beis. The Gemara says that there's a debate in the Gemara whether Mekadesh Bifnei Eidachad Choshen the Kiddushin or not. That we talked about a little bit. So the point is, because I was trying to illustrate that you need Eidei Kiyum, right? The Gemara's conclusion is that HaMekadesh Bifnei Eidachad Ein Choshen the Kiddushin. That seems to be the Maskana. Certainly that's the Rambam's Maskana. The Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Aleph, when he introduces the Chiddush of Matan Torah, Mishan Nitna Torah L'Sinai, right? Kodem Matan Torah Yadam Pugei Ishu V'Shuk Ratzahu Ratztahi, right? If they were just both willing. By the way, it's interesting, Ratzahu Ratztahi, right? That to be Ratzah. Anyways, the both of them, though, equal Ratzah in this case, interesting also. Yeah, it's probably not for now to make that point. But okay, Ratzahu Ratztahi. So they used to get married. Misha Nitna Torah, the Torah is Mechadesh two things, according to the Rambam. We discussed it. One, the requirement of a Kinyan, Erison, prior to the Nisuin. Number two, Eidei Kiyum. So right in Perek, the first halacha, you can't miss it. When the first thing you read in Hilchos Ishus, right, is Kinyan and Eidei Kiyum. Then in Perek Gimel, look at Perek Gimel for a minute. Look at Halacha Aleph, Gimel, Hey. Okay? Line 10, Kodem Matan Torah, oh, that we read already. Right? Okay, look at 11. Kivin Shinit Torah, Nitztav Yisrael Shem Yirtza Ish Lisa Isha, Yikne Osa Tchila Bifnei Edim, the Achakach Tchila Isha. Bifnei Edim, right? Then comes... look at Gimel Aleph, that's line 14. Ketzad Ha'isha Miskadeshes and Bekesav Mekadeshein Pachas Mipruta Kesav Hoshava Pruta Omer LaHaret Mekadeshes LiHaret Masas LiHaret LiIsha Bazeh. And then he adds V'nosnin La Bifnei Eidim. Even though he said it in Halach Aleph, he doesn't mind repeating it in Perek Gimel Halach Aleph in the example of Kiddushei Kesef. You think the Rambam is going to repeat it again in Kiddushei Shtar? Look at Halach Halach Gimel Number 17. Then Kiddush Bishtar, Kosoval and Yor Lacheris Ola, Kol Dover Shiir Tzareh Mekdesh Tzareh Muresesli, Chol Kiyotz B'Dvar Melu Ve, No Snow Bifnei Eidim. What about Kiddush Shabia? Is he going to complete the circle? Line 20. Then Kiddush B'Bi Omer Lareh Mekdesh Tzareh Muresesli Tzareh Lili Isha B'Bi Lozu V'Chol Kiyotz B'Dvar Mesiachin Yima Bifnei Shnei Eidim U'Bo'ala. Okay, the Rambam doesn't mind repeating this three times. In the beginning of Hilchos Gerushin, he says that Gerushin has to be Bifnei Eidim. It's one of the 10 requirements, and then he repeats it again in Perek Aleph, Halacha, whatever that Halacha is, I think Yud Gimel. However, you will search again in vain. Where should it have been? If it was a requirement, where would it be? Right in the beginning of Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus. That's where it should be. Look at Perek Yud Halacha Aleph. Harusa Sur Labala Midivre Sofrim Kozman Chi Bede Savia. This is line 24. Habala Rusasu Beitzchim Makan Osa Makas Mardas. Hafilim Kitchen Via Osir Lava Lab Yashnia Bede Savia Chiavi Osa Toch Beso. Viasiachinimo Viafrishenolo. Viyichud Zehu Nikor Knisa Lechupa. Hua Nikor Nisun Bechal Makom. This is the definition of Nisuin. Yichud Aroy Labia. We'll get back to this. Nasa sasua, rishta lechol davar. Then again, halacha base. Kim shenichasa rusa lechupa rub teres lava olam b'chalisha yirtza harishta gemur lechol davar. Mishetikanis lechupa nikrei nesua. Afu bishlo nivala hushtei ruil beila. When the ma'isa nida afu bishenichasa lechupa b'nisyakeid lo gamru kiddushin. There's a lot to say about almost every word in this Rambam, but basically these are the two halachos, Perikyot halacha Aleph and Beis, the transition to Nisuin is Perikyot and Rambam. These are the two halachos where the Rambam defines Nisuin in a complex way. What's missing?
He doesn't mention Eidim.
No Eidim Kiyum. No Eidim. He mentions the definite what's going on, the Kedusha LeBeis, so we talk, right? Yichud Abar Lebia. No Eidim. The Tosas Riyad Zakein, on the other hand, on Daf Yud, when he describes Nisuin, Kopa, says Bifnei Eidim. As far as I know, he's the only Rishon who says that. But the Rambam omits it. It's a very striking omission. It's not like the Rambam is shy or saving ink when it comes to Eidim Kiyum, as we just showed, right? Like what's going on. So the Or Sameach has a Safek. Very, very long piece of the Or Sameach, Perikid Alach Aleph. He says, you know, Ram doesn't mention it. He says, you know, it depends on the following. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Samachem and Beis, that how come you don't apply the din of Hodas Balin Kamedim Dami in Kiddushin? Because normally, if two people, right, admitted that they underwent a transaction, that they agreed to a transaction, and they not just agreed to a transaction. They undertook a transaction. Reuven and Shimon agree that they split their partnership or that they created a partnership and they did all the right things without Eidim. Right? So the halacha is if the two of them agree and they're the parties, you know, of record, they're the affected parties, so we believe them without witnesses. Why? Because lo ibri sahadi al shakri, says the Gemara. The purpose of witnesses is to preclude falsehood, telling a lie, and hodas padin is kamed in dami. If the two parties, the interested parties, agree, and they're the affected parties, so we believe them. However, just one more second, when it comes to kiddushin, we don't say this. How come? Chav lachrini. That's a gemara. Chav lachrini. The Avnei Miluim has a whole discussion about it, because he says, why don't you say Davar Davar Mimama, which is really the Rajba's question, which he quotes from the Rajba. So that's the big question, right? Chav Lachrini. So this is the Or Sameach. It's a little kind of a little window, you know, into halachic thinking. The Or Sameach, you know, who doesn't need my Askama, for sure, one of the greats, you know. So he's trying to figure out, do you need Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin? You need Eidei Kiyum for Eirusin. Do you need Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin? So he went back to the Gemara and Kiddushin, Samachem and Beis. Why do you need Eidei Kiyum for Kiddushin? We don't say Hodas Baldin Kamedim Dami, because of Chav Lachrini. So the Or Sameach says, all we really have to do, it's not such a small all, but he has three pages after that, says all we really have to try to figure out is there any Chav Lachrini when you add Nisuin to Erisin? In other words, going from zero to Erisin has plenty of Chav Lachrini. Eishasi, Shchayv Misa, Krovim, right? But let's say you're already Mu'reses. There's already an Erisin. Does the Nisuin, right, add anything of significance that is Chav Lachrini? That's the question. That's the Or Sameach's analysis. Back and forth and back. Fine. Then he talks about some other interesting things. Is there Shlichus for Nisuin? Is there Tanai for Nisuin? Okay. Very, very fascinating piece. But the Rav used to say in the name of Reb Chaim that Reb Chaim, when he was Masada Kiddushin, was machmir to have Adam see the Nisuin, in fact, but that in principle he really didn't believe in it. In other words, that he really felt that Eidei Kiyum was a requirement of Erisin, but not of Nisuin. But, at least the way he reported it, not any kind of frontal connection to Chav Lachrini one way or another. What was the issue? The issue is how do you understand Nisuin vis-a-vis Kiddushin? is Nisuin, right, another level in the Chalosa Ishos, or it's just kind of a Maisa, which is Matir, you know, the intimacy part of Ishos. The real Chalos Ishos is done completely by the Erusin, right? The Nisuin is a Maisa de Mimela. This based on Reb Chaim's written analysis in Hilchos Yibum v'Chalitza. In Hilchos Yibum v'Chalitza, Reb Chaim, I think we discussed it last week, discusses the following question. Right? Does Chalitza and Yibum require Edikiyum? That's one. Number two, how come when it comes to certain halachos, we say that a katan or a ktana, right, are effective as long as there's a gadol omed al gabav? You have adult supervision, or the adult presence can kind of fill in, right, can compensate for what's missing. But in other halachos, no amount of gadol omed al gabav is going to help you. For example, a katan cannot be mekadesh even with gadol omed al gabav. But when it comes to chalitza, it seems like a ktana could be involved in chalitza, if not for the fact that they're not roi lekriya and things of that sort. How come? So Reb Chaim says in that piece, this is Perek Dalad, Hilchos Yibum v'Chalitza, this is the famous piece in the Chibur. Reb Chaim says, it depends. Whenever there's a requirement of edikiyum, that shows we're dealing with my explanation, but this is, I believe, what he means, a transcendent creation, a chalos, and that implies or requires, that comes with two things. Number one, a higher threshold of das, and number two, the presence of edikiyum. Why? In other words, the level of commitment to create this new reality, not just to agree to a physical fact or its significance as far as it is, but to take something that is only symbolic and to create a transcendent status or stature from it requires a higher level of commitment, das adeschayev, and that also requires the formalizing or solemnizing presence of witnesses. That's how I understand how it fits together. Anyways, so now, when you put that together with the Pi Hashmua, what the Rav was saying in the name of Reb Chaim was, is Nisuin like Erusin? Or is Nisuin more like many Rishonim think Chalitza is? Why? It's a Maisa de Mimela, it's an obstacle removed, it's a Matir, but it's not a creation of a Chalitza.
Why Reb Chaim specifically addressed that in the Hebrew, actually, when he was, you know, making this distinction?
I have no idea. I think he was really... I mean, I think technically I know why, but it would have been better if he had. I think the technical reason is because he's discussing the Rambam, you know, in Hilchos Yibum, which are a little bit problematic, and he's trying to explain this whole issue of Katan, Gadol Omed Al Gabav, and so on. But, you know, it would have been better. But anyway, so I'll tell you what always bothered me. What do you do with the Gemara? Which Gemara? The Gemara in Kiddushin, Tzavach Hamad Beis. Doesn't the Gemara say that Eidei Kiyum is connected to Chav Lachrini? Right? So I don't know what Reb Chaim said about that or what the Rav said about that. I only heard the parts that I can tell you. But it always occurred to me that that's exactly how Reb Chaim read Chav Lachrini. Meaning, and that's what I mean about it being a terrific little window into, you know, Derech HaLimud. The Or Sameach took Chav Lachrini in a very literal, technical way. Namely, you don't say Hodas Baldin, Kemedim Dami, unless the exclusive parties are these two parties, right? And everything, you know, all adverse impact affects only them. They're the ones who are claiming that it is so. There's no Chav Lachrini. Hodas Baldin, Kemedim Dami, whatever you have, Chav Lachrini, they're not the only Balei Dvarim. Or if they are the Balei Dvarim, the point is that that's not enough. And therefore, when there's Chav Lachrini, you don't say Odos Baldin, Kemedim Dami, and you need Edim. Reb Chaim understood that the din of Chav Lachrini and the fact that you don't say Odos Baldin is not only because, oh, there are more Balei Dinim. But rather, the idea is, what kind of action are we dealing with? Are we, does he conceptualize Chav Lachrini? This is the question we showed him ask. What is Chav Lachrini? So Rashi says, Chav Lachrini, I'm not going to go into all the shittas, but just one. Chav Lachrini, Rashi says, means krovim. Right? In other words, when these two people marry, they're not the only people affected. because the Krovei Hakala and the Krovei Hachasan now have Isurim, right? You could say it's peripheral relative to the main part, but still, right? So the way that the Or Sameach understood it, and frankly the Rajba, so the Rajba asked the following question. That's how Rashi interprets Chav Lachrini. So the Rajba says, and what about a Gersha Nasa Gioras? Or Shekidesh Gioras? Right, there are no relatives. So they can be Mekadesh without any Kiyum? Because there's no Chav Lachrini according to Rashi. Says the Rajba, it must be that Chav Lachrini means the Isra Shasish. Meaning if somebody, a third party, now involves himself with this woman, right, then there's a Shasish. Fine. What is Rashi going to say? Oh, it's a low plug. Well, there's more than one Chav Lachrini. Maybe, I'm sure that's one of the, those are probably two of the answers that are given. But I think what Reb Chaim would tell you is, Rashi didn't mean that Chav Lachrini only means it affects other people, so we're not going to rely on Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami. What he meant was, it's not a physical action that you could say Hodas Baldin about. You need the Edim, because they're a solemn night. We spoke about the Ritva last week, right? Who says it's not just about their status as Edim in Birur, it's their presence as part of the Hagdara of this transcendent Ishus, this Chalos. So, if that's really what it is, so what's up to Chav Lachrini? The answer is Chav Lachrini shows you this is a transcendent chalos, because it affects other people, right? It's a stature. So now, when Reb Chaim was trying to figure out, is Nisuin required a kiyum like the Tosas Riyah Zaken, or probably not like the Rambam who omits it. So unlike the Or Sameach, he didn't go back. He might have. The Or Sameach said, "Oh, well, let's just see if there's Chav Lachrini." Post Erison, right? Is there still more Chav Lachrini? Is the value added of Nisuin to Erison Chav Lachrini? Yes or no? Let's look for some Hechatimtsis. And then the ingenuity and the Bekiyas and Amalaptis, I mean, that's what he gets into.
Well, what about Edi Yehud?
But for Reb Chaim, just one second, I'm not trying to understand the question, but just give me one, let me just finish the thought. But for Reb Chaim, the bigger issue was Chav Lachrini, to begin with, is about the transcendence of Erison. What we're really trying to figure out is stage two of Ishus, Nisuin. Is that a second half of stage, that like equivalent to set but another part, or is it totally different? What did you ask about Edi?
Edi Yichud. What's Edi Yichud? They have to have Edi Yichud. That's part of the Nisuin.
No, that's exactly what we're asking. No, but according to
Rambam says,
says you need Yichud or Roy Lebiya.
Rambam says, Vissiachet, Imor, Viafrishen, Oloy, doesn't say Edim,
right.
But everybody's knowing they had Edim.
Well, ba.
Edim by Edim.
Because we're no egg too, because we're Machmir for this.
So according to the Rambam, you wouldn't have Edim Yichud.
The Rambam does not say that there has to be Edim Yichud. That's exactly that point. Meaning, we're no egg at a wedding.
Yeah.
To point Edei Yichud.
Right.
That's because we're Choshesh, that maybe need Edei Kiyum for the Nisuin as well. But that's exactly what we're talking about. The Or Sameach wasn't sure. The Chaim wasn't sure. According to the Tzad that you don't have to, that's not a real Kibud. Don't tell anybody. I'm Machmir, when I'm Sadek Kibushin, that they should even have Edei Badekin. I say the Edei Yichud should also see the Badekin. Because according to some Rishonim, that's the Nisuin. So for the Shitas that say that maybe you need Edei Kiyum also for the Nisuin, I say that the Edei Yichud also look at that. But according to the view, according to what we're talking about here, maybe you don't need it at all. Okay, so that's an important Nafkamina. Another Nafkamina is Ketano. Right, we just said a second ago. When do you need Das? When do you need, typical Choshen Mishpat Ratzon, we'll call it. Edei Kiyum is an example of a Nafkamina, right? We just discussed. What about Ketana? Katan Ketana. So what's fascinating is if you look at the Rambam, and this is again, Reb Chaim made this Ara, the Rambam speaks about Ketana in Erusin, and he speaks about Ketana in Nisuin. Okay? In both situations, the Gemara, it's based on two different Gemaras in the second parak of Kiddusha. In both situations, the Gemara said that you require that the father should not refuse. However, if you read the Gemara's carefully, it sounds like in one, namely in Erusin, you require his positive input, and in the Suin, we require that he shouldn't refuse. That's a different nuance already. The Rambam, the Rif already, and then the Rambam codified this. So look very carefully. Look at Perek Gimel. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Look at... go to the next page for a second. Page 4. Look at Perek Gimel Locha Yud Gimel, number 20, 1920. Niskacha Kodim Shetivgar, Shalola Dasavia, Eina Mekudeshes. She's Mekabel Kiddushin before she's a Bogeres. She's not Mekudeshes. Without her husband, without her father's consent, is no Kiddushin. Afil Nisratza Ha'av Acharshin Niskacha. Even if he agrees later on, when he finds out about it, he agrees, let's say, whatever. That is pretty clear, right? Now look at Perek Chavbeis Halacha Hei, coincidentally the next one, 23-24. Ketanah Sheniskacha L'das Avia. Interesting. Right? Why does he formulate it that way? Well, I mean, it has to be true, because if she was Niskacha Shelo B'das Avia, then there wouldn't be a case of Nisuin. But it's interesting, he could have just said, you know, Ketanah Shenisei Shelo L'das Avia, we would have known it too. Why does it say Ketana Sheniskacha L'das Avia, Venisa Shelo L'das Avia? Okay, the Gemara already. But anyway, Bein B'fana Bein Shelo B'fana, Yachal Ha'av Limchos Kemosha B'Yarnu. Now, is that the same as what he said by Erison? Here he says Yachal Limchos. He has the right of refusal. What do we say in Erison? We need his input slash consent. Aren't those two? Those are two different things. I think that's also why the Rambam says, "Ketanah Sheniskacha L'das Avia, V'nisa Shelo L'das Avia." In a way, this is an echo of that whole Tosus, in the beginning of Suvas, issue. Right there, what do we say? Even if Kiddushin has to be Beratzon, a Ratzon Kiddushin may allow a Balkarcha Nisuin. Okay, so let's assume we don't Paskin that way. Right? But we have the same exact thing in the Rambam, in the Rif, in the Gemara, by Ketana. Meaning, Ketana, Sheniskacha, Shelola Dasavia, even though he wasn't Moche, is not good enough. But once, we're talking about Nisuin, as long as he doesn't refuse, that's fine. And not only that, but the Rambam's formulation is, Ketana, Sheniskacha, Shelola Dasavia, Venisa, Shelola Dasavia. Right? So, this is where you have the famous case, I've spoken about it in the past. The Rama, the Chachmi Ashkenaz, I have it in the Mordechai here. It's also in the Ghost of Mamunios. The case is Maisa Be'echad. And we'll stop at this today. We'll finish. We have just a few more minutes on this, and then we'll start with Kicha Kicha Misteyafron. Next, it'll still be next week's parsha, so it'll be fine. The Mordechai following case: Maisa Be'echad Shekibo Kiddushe Bitok. The top of the page, line 2. Maisa Bechad Shekibo Kiddushe Bito Kishoyse Ketana. Right? A father, when he was alive, right, allowed for Kiddushe Ketana of his daughter. Uba'ota Ketana, and she's still a Ketana, Meisa'av, he dies. After the Kiddushin, before the Nisuin. Okay? Baba Soyse Yechida, she's an only child, means she's going to inherit his estate. Uruya Lirosh Nechasim Rubim Me'avia, Bahoisa Cholanis, and she's sick. Dabach. Right? The Shal Abba Lichnos, the husband wants to speed up the Nisuin. Alright? Baburshim Tabus Sheyirash Anachasim. They're not leaving anything to the imagination, this Mordechai. Vakrovim, guess what they want? Right? Akrovim ha'yireim pentamus v'tivka yirushasa. Right, va'arus rotzalechnos v'chazka. He's like, you know, chomping at the bit, and they're saying, slow things down. You know, maybe we'll find a nicer hall. You know, a better caterer. Umanu miktas rabosai ki amru afilu yisaena ba'odektana. Right. They're saying, if you go ahead with this, kivin shekidut sheah he kedushin daraisa v'nisuin drabanan deleika av delimsa lechupa rei kamo biznus etzlo. V'meisa lo yershena, kim krovel yershua. They'll say either way, there's no point because since she's a katana, the nisuin is only going to be drabanan. It's only through the nisuin that there would be yerusha sabal. So that's going to not doraisa. So either way, it doesn't work. V'shahal arus pichachamim. He didn't go with this svara, so he asked the shaila. Rabbeinu Ephraim Rabbi Yitzchak michabo. Rabbeinu Ephraim Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Yeah, you can't rush this." The tama mishum the chuppah b'makom kinyan amedas. Chuppah is like a kinyan. That's an interesting language, right? V'lo dami l'nisuin diyisom ektana da'ita kanta drabanan v'lahachi kimi the condition of our Torah bina dami chuppah l'dasavia. We need a proper chuppah because the erusin is mina Torah, but the nisuin is lacking a father, and therefore this is a big problem. That's what Rabbeinu Ephraim told him. But there's no such evidence in the Gemara that such a thing is true. Because what we have in the Gemara is that when the father's alive, he has a right of refusal. But it doesn't say that the father's lack of input, right? Let's say he doesn't refuse, but he doesn't agree. You don't need him necessarily for chuppah d'oraisa. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam said. V'shocha davar lefnei Rabbeinu Tam. V'heshiv alak tanish v'skacha l'das avia. So again, the same way like the Rambam here, pizza. Right, she got married, Midaraisa, Erison was fine. Ubeisavia, Vavrola Yud Beis Chadashim, Boda Ktan, she's still a Ktana, now it's time for the Nisuin. Tema, Echiala Levisha Loyershana. Rabbeinu Tam says, why wouldn't, if they do a Nisuin, why wouldn't it work? Sharloy Nechwaku Perika Ishmekadesh and Mishim Yam Shema Yavi of a Yimcha. It's the problem is that he might refuse and he has a right of refusal. Avalhachala Yimcha Liolam. Right, until Tzchias HaMesim, at least, by then she'll probably not be a Ketana. Right, there's no problem that he's going to be refusing. So if he's not going to be refusing, we don't need his input. That would have been a problem, sir. Right? Voda filik sha'av kayam u'betochid beitz chodesh. Tama mishim betziyasa ma'asiyah deha. The reason that he has a right of refusal is because it affects him. Wow. The ha'aminen u'kem amonim b'cheskas mare b'yirushas nechasim nafula. The gabe ha'av ihi gufa l'av mamonahu, av the gabe achim the meisavia. Okay, I'm going to leave the rest of it. This is a fascinating argument. It's not just the diukim in the riff of the Rambam, right? That in erusin you require input, and in nisuin it's a right of refusal. Here you have a real concrete nafkamina, right? Let's say there is no father to refuse, although there's no father, you know, to agree. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there can be a nisuin d'oraisa, and according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, it can't. And what's fascinating is the language of Rabbeinu Ephraim, because what did Rabbeinu Ephraim, when he wanted to convey this, what did he say? That nisuin b'makom kinyan, chuppah b'makom kinyan omedas. Right? Is that really true? I mean, chuppah is a kinyan? Or being nisuin has kinyan consequences? So again, when we learned Ksuvas a few years ago, we discussed this much more extensively. I mentioned this Mordechai too. I mentioned the Yerushalmi.
The Marshal and the Sheet Mekubetz that we discussed before, the initial Ratzel extends to the Nisuyan. Why wouldn't that apply to this case as well?
Maybe it does. But it's hard to say that about a Ketana when the father's dead.
The father's Ratzel.
Yeah, maybe that's Rabbeinu Tam's. Maybe that's kind of what Rabbeinu Tam means.
He's no longer around the Ketana.
Right. Okay. I mean, he's saying there's no refusal, but there's but it's hard to know what that was. Right. Anyways,
in this case of sending shliach and mishalech mishtata.
Yeah, no, I understand, but it's more than that because it's concretized already in the Aresa. So, what's that?
It's not refusing when you can't refuse. Is that any evidence of anything?
No. Maybe it's not. It's not on the basis of evidence. It's that he has a right of refusal. So, anyway, this is certainly a very strong echo to what we're talking about. So, again, we learned Ksuvas a couple years ago. I discussed the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says in the beginning of Ksuvas and in Yuma, we discussed it this year also before the Yom Narayim, because I talked about Kohen Gadol being Nasui. So, it's the same Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that the reason you can't get married, Nisuin, on Shabbos is because it's like a konikin in b'shabbos. And there are different girsos. Is it kikone? It is kone. Nira kikone. Like, how literally do you take that? A. B, what is it about the Nisuin that reflects that? Is it the Rusha, the Tumah, the Afar Sadarim, the Maisi Adayim? There might be different elements of Nisuin. Again, not our topic right now. I'm just more interested in the Kedushin part. But what I'm trying to show, what's fascinating is that the Rambam, you know, you'd expect the Rambam to be the most uncomfortable with this idea. Right? Even though he does use the language of Kona in Perek Yud Halach Aleph, but that's a very specific, you know, Kona L'inyan the Heter Ishalabala. But that aside, of all Rishonim, you'd expect that the Rambam wouldn't be so into that. So what's fascinating is that if you look at the Rambam in Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus, he says, you're not allowed to get married, Nisuin, on Shabbos. But he doesn't say the reasoning of the Yerushalmi, it's Kekonikin and B'Shabbos. He says because of the problem of Chil Shabbos. You're not allowed to get married Erev Shabbos, so you're not allowed to worry about Tzai Shabbos, because you're worried about Chil Shabbos. He says, V'kol shekein B'Shabbos Atzmo. So some of the Nosei Kelim say, V'kol shekein B'Shabbos Atzmo, Ayin B'Yerushalmi. That's not what the Rambam meant. That's not a kol shekein. The kol shekein is more chil Shabbos. So it's interesting that he, and the Rambam is a Yerushalmi person, but he didn't like this particular, this Yerushalmi didn't work in to what he felt was the mainstream view, that chuppah is a matir, and chuppah is a gemar, and chuppah, you know, is a maisa. It's not the kinyan, it's not the other part of the missing kinyan that began with Erusin but needs to be completed with chuppah. This is a massive topic, but you already see that these are some of the issues. So I want to speak just for another couple of minutes about that next time, but mostly to move on to the next Gemara, Gimel Amud Aleph, about Kiddushin B'Chalipin. So just remind everybody, next week we have Shir. 2 weeks from tonight, we do not. And 3 weeks from tonight, we're back on schedule.